Previously on Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast.
In the good old summertime, in the good old summertime.
Grab a fiber bar and settle in, it's sassy time.
Cliff and Kendall, two big old boys from Nashville, grew up and branched out all across America. From thousands of miles away, they reunite online and in your ear. Each week, bringing you bits of humanity in the form of a podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Hey, kids!
Kendall, this is not the Binky the Clown show.
It is. I have reverted.
This is not the Binky the Clown unauthorized, unofficial fan cast.
It might as well be because it is the 90s. We were talking about the 90s today, and Garfield was in the 90s.
Can you believe it's the 90s? No, it's not the
90s. It's not the 90s. We're talking about the 90s.
I don't want listeners to flip out and think that they were, against their will, teleported back to the 90s. It is not.
If you're listening to this on cassette tape, you may be in the 90s.
You may be in the 90s. Oh, Kendall, can I tell you why this is going somewhere, I promise? Just get on the train with me and let's see how it takes us,
sure, okay?
Do you know that I am just like all of the Golden Girls? All four of them.
You're,
you want to know how
you're
I
old,
like,
you're bald.
No. I'm like Rose because she tells long, boring stories about things that nobody wants to hear about.
Yeah.
I'm like Sophia because at work I'm the feisty old person.
Oh.
And Blanche, do you know why I'm like Blanche?
Why are you like Blanche?
Guess.
Because you like men.
I'm from the South, you asshole! I'm just like Dorothy. A, because I can give a really good withering stare. I'm going to do it to you, Kendall. You can tell how withering it is.
It's withering.
You were withered.
I was withered.
He was withered, everybody.
Ooh.
And B, because I am sometimes a substitute teacher. Did people know this? It's like a jackpot. It's like when the Jonas Brothers go to a school and do a concert. I go and do a class. But anyway.
Except the people that you substitute are like, who are the Golden Girls?
Who are the Golden Girls? Who is this big old fat guy in our class?
That's what they think. You're a big man on campus for sure now.
Fat ass. Anyway, I was substitute teaching today, Kendall, and they watched a video that was from 1985.
Ooh, this is the 90s, but not 80s.
There is not. It was from 85, 86, because at one point there were these hip teens of the day talking
hip
on there.
Hip teens.
They were talking about their values with this comedian / counselor.
I thought you said they were talking about their vaginas.
They
wouldn't talk about that in the 80s, though.
This one kind of did. She said, I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm a virgin. But they were talking about their feelings. Why did I say this? You got me off track with vagina.
Vaginas always distract you.
From the 80s. And at one point, they were teens. They were hip teens. And they said, we were like 4 or 5 when Watergate happened. And the kids that I was with, they were middle schoolers. And Kendall, this might as well have been like the first recording that... What's-his-face, who invented everything, made.
Edison?
It was that old. Yeah, Edison. Like, they couldn't get over. They're like, this is the 60s. This is the 70s. And I said, this was the 80s, the greatest decade known to man. But this show is about the 90s.
The kids in your class were looking at it like the 60s. But if you think about it, when we were, we were kids, the 60s were the 80s to them.
Definitely. Because I saw this video from 85, and I'm like, this is pretty recent. And this is how I dress and speak.
Yeah.
But then they were like, what is this, the 40s? Is this Casablanca? And so...
Are you wearing a flapper dress?
What about the 90s?
Oh, Cliff, I was going to look up the definition of 90s, but I know that there's a... But I know there's a history lesson coming later. And I didn't want to
I didn't define it. Worthy of Webster's,
Cliff,
you want to hit that old dick, as they say in the library biz.
Oh,
hit that old dick. Shannery, Kendall. Oh, my goodness.
I didn't want to take any of your thunder, Cliff. I wanted to leave it all for you in the history lesson.
All right. I got
now,
a lot of history.
But
you know,
I will say.
A lot of history.
I will say, do you know we were in high school in the 90s, Cliff?
Oh, fuck me. We were in middle school in the 90s.
I can't believe. I cannot believe. That I know that I graduated in 2000, so technically I graduated in the new millennia. But I was a junior in high school and even a senior in 1999.
I was a college student, bitch. Biatch, to use some 90s vernacular.
Well, you're only making yourself sound older and fatter, I hope you know. You're not gaining any ground by saying, I was a college student in 99.
I was a college student. Biatch. Kendall, yep. We're fat. Do you remember in the 90s when
we were fat?
On Time Magazine, Ellen came out and she was like, yep, I'm gay.
Was that the 90s?
That was the 90s, Kendall. That was 97.
Oh, my goodness. I remember the year Opryland closed, and some of our listeners don't know what that is, but that was a theme park in Nashville. It closed in 98, Cliff. Can you believe? 98!
Where were you when the world stopped turning?
I was at Opryland.
And Opryland closed. I think that's what that song was about.
Opryland 89. Yeah.
Alan Jack. This is not an Alan Jackson live radio cast. This is Cliff and Kendall.
It's an unauthorized Alan Jackson fan cast. Oh, Cliff, the 1990s.
I blew snot out of both my nostrils.
Well, you do that every week. Cliff, do you remember when Alan Jackson was so big in the 90s?
I almost started singing Achy Breaky Heart, but what I really meant was, don't rock the jukebox!
Didn't he just, like, get a Lifetime Achievement Award?
Kendall, everybody at this point has been given Lifetime Achievement Awards except for us.
Well, we've been
Taylor
given a
Swift
Fat Time Achievement Award.
Has won, like, 3 Lifetime Achievement Awards. All we can win is the Fat Time Achievement Award and the award for most Christmas spirit and the North Pole.
And we already won that one. That one's on my mantle.
We've won them both.
That one's
we've won them both. We're done. Send this one to the Peabody Committee for a reevaluation.
Well, that and our Pulitzer Prize, you know.
Our Pulitzer.
They're both there.
For our journeys to Busheltown.
And there's nothing funny about that, Cliff.
Kendall, I want to reiterate. There is nothing funny about what we just said.
There's not, but there is about me. Hey, Cliff!
Oh, Lord in heaven.
Are you ready for some bad jokes?
Hey, hey, hey! This is the Fat Albert and Binky Show.
Hey, kids! Two college students, Cliff, Frank and Matt, are riding.
Matt.
They're riding on a New York City subway. I know you love them already. When a beggar approaches them asking for spare change, and Frank adamantly rejects the man in disgust. And Matt, on the other hand, whips out his wallet, pulls out a couple of dollar bills, and gladly hands them over to the beggar with a smile.
No.
Yes, the beggar thanks him kindly, and then he continues on to the other pastors, and Frank is outraged, Cliff, by his friend's generosity.
No.
He says, "What on earth did you do that for? You know he's only going to use that for drugs and booze." And Matt says, wait, we weren't? Oh, they were going to use it for booze and drugs too, Cliff.
Matt is my kind of people.
I know.
A surgeon, Kendall, like a surgeon. I sang that in high school
Cut
in the
90s. Cut for the very first time. Yeah.
A surgeon went to check on his blonde patient after an operation.
Oh, what an idiot.
She was awake, don't you know? So he examined her. "You'll be fine," he said. And she said, "How long will it be before I am able to have a normal sex life again, Doc?"
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, baby. And the surgeon, he seemed to pause, which alarmed her. "What's the matter, Doc? I will be all right, won't I?" He replied, "Well, yeah, you'll be fine. It's just that no one has ever asked me that after having their tonsils out."
Oh, what a blonde bimbo, Cliff.
Oh, Kendall. Incidentally, wonder how long it will be until she can have a normal sex life.
I don't know, about 2.5 hours.
Oh,
Cliff,
baby.
John and Mary were having dinner in a very fine restaurant, and the waitress...
Did they know Matt and that other guy?
No, they didn't. Their waitress, taking another order at a table a few paces away, noticed that John was ever so slowly sliding down his chair under the table while Mary was acting unconcerned. So the waitress, she watched as John slid all the way down his chair and out of sight under the table. And still, Mary appeared calm and unruffled, apparently unaware that John had disappeared under the table. So the waitress finished taking the order at the other table, and she came over to the table, and she said to the woman, pardon me, ma'am, but I think your husband just slid under the table. And the woman calmly looked up and replied firmly, oh, no, he didn't. In fact, he just walked through the front door.
Oh, shit.
What a loose slut. She was cheating on him. She was cheating on him with John.
John and Matt and the Steve and the other Joe were out buying booze and drugs. Kendall, speaking of the 90s, in the 1990s.
Yeah.
When King Arthur was off looking for the Holy Grail, he had Guinevere fitted with a chastity belt with a small guillotine on it to stop anyone interfering with her while he was away. Oh, you know what I mean when I say interfering. When he returned, Kendall, he asked all his knights to drop their trousers. And the only one with a wang left, Kendall, is Lancelot. Lancelot, he says, you alone can I trust, faithful friend. What shall we do with these traitors? Come, man, speak up. What, have you lost your tongue? His tongue was sliced off in her chastity belt.
I thought we were on Gilligan's Island. That was Mr. Howell.
Oh, dear.
Now, Cliff, I have a joke. This is one of my favorite jokes I've ever told on the show, but it's a little long. I have to warn you. That's what she said.
People thought Jim Backus was back from the dead.
A man had a terrible passion for baked beans, Cliff.
Oh,
but they
God.
Always had a somewhat lively
effect.
They had a lively effect on him. And after he met the woman of his dreams, he made the supreme sacrifice to give them up. He couldn't imagine subjecting his wife to his beastly emissions. Speaking of beastly emissions, on his birthday, Cliff.
Oh, Kendall.
The car
are stinking up the studio.
On his birthday, his car broke down, so he called his wife and told her that he'd have to walk home. He walked past a cafe, and this wonderful aroma of baked beans overwhelmed him. And so, since he was a couple of miles away from home, he figured he could indulge and then walk it off. Any ill effects, you know. So he had 3 extra large helping of beans, Cliff, and he putt-putted all the way home. Now, his wife met him at the door and seemed somewhat excited, and she said, darling, I have the most wonderful surprise for you for dinner tonight. So she blindfolded him and led him to the chair at the head of the table, making him promise not to peek. And at this point, he was beginning to feel another one coming on. And just as she was about to remove the blindfold, the telephone rang and she went to answer it. So while she was gone, he thought he would, as she was gone, he seized the opportunity. He shifted his weight to one leg and let it go, Cliff. It was only it was not only loud, but ripe as a rotten egg.
And God, Kendall, chapter 12.
Cliff, he gasped and felt for his napkin, and he fanned the air around him, and he started to feel better, but then another one came on. And this one sounded like a diesel engine revving, and it smelled worse than the first one. He tried flapping his arms to clear the air, but another one snuck out, Cliff, and the windows rattled and the dishes on the table shook. And a minute later, the flowers on the table, they died, Cliff. So when he heard his wife...
The flowers died, everybody.
When he heard his wife ending her conversation, he neatly laid his napkin on his lap and folded his hands on top of it. And he was the picture of innocence, Cliff.
Innocence.
When she walked in. Now, apologizing for taking so long, she asked if he had peeked at the dinner, and he assured her that he had not. So she removed the blindfold, and she said, surprise! And to his shock and horror, there were 12 dinner guests seated around the table for his surprise birthday party!
Farting at the party!
He was letting them rip. I bet some people died right there, Cliff.
I bet that all took place in hell. Kendall, speaking of, did you say he lived in Busheltown?
No.
Why did I think of that?
I don't know.
Eddie wanted desperately to have sex. text, ooh, Kendall, with this really cute, really hot girl in his office. And he was really hot, not just work hot. But she was dating somebody else. One day, Eddie got so frustrated that he went to her and he said, "I'll give you 100 buckaroonies if you let me have sex with you."
Oh,
the girl looked at him, Kendall, and she looked at him and she just said, "No."
Oh,
and Eddie said, "Oh, come on." He was real whiny. He said, "Come on. I'll be real fast."
Sorry, I had a hiccup.
"I'll throw the money on the floor. You bend down, and I'll finish by the time you've picked it up."
Oh, my God.
And she thought for a minute, Kendall, and said that she would consult with her boyfriend,
ooh,
who loved her unconditionally.
Oh,
and so she called him and explained that old situation. And her boyfriend says, "Well, ask him for $2 and pick up the money really fast. He won't even be able to get his pants down." She agreed and accepts his indecent proposal. Over half an hour goes by, and the boyfriend is still waiting for his girlfriend's call. Finally, after 45 minutes, the boyfriend calls and says, "What happened?" Still breathing hard, this girl, she just managed to reply, "That bastard used all dimes."
Oh!
Dimes, Kendall.
She got it, Cliff. She got it.
She got it. He drove
it
home. Kendall, can you believe they turned that joke into the movie Indecent Proposal starring Demi Moore and Michael Douglas?
I can't believe it. Cliff, what does a good bar and a good woman have in common?
I don't know.
Cliff, they got liquor in the front and poker in the back. Now, what do you call a 90-year-old man who can still masturbate?
I don't know.
Miracle Whip. Cliff, Cliff, what is 6 inches long and starts with a P?
I should know this. I don't know.
No, you don't. It's a shit. Think about it.
Oh, fudge. Muddy fudge. Kendall, what does tightrope walking and getting a BJ from a grandma have in common?
Oh, Cliff, I don't know.
You don't look down. How does a...
Whoa.
This is for the feminist. How does a man show that he is planning for the future?
I don't know, Cliff.
He buys 2 cases of beer instead of one. And finally, everybody, a little bit of office observational humor here for you. What does the receptionist at the sperm clinic say to clients as they are leaving?
Come again?
Thanks for coming.
Oh, I like mine too. Cliff, I gotta take a break. All this coming, I've gotta take a break. All this coming and going.
I don't know whether I'm coming or going, Kendall.
Well,
I pee in the front.
One's
and
yellow,
yellow
and one's white.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
I gotta take a break, Cliff. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't touch that dial. There's more sass on the way. Stay tuned for more Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
When you're looking for the best darn stapler you can get.
When you're looking for the best darn stapler you can get.
I said, when you're looking for the best darn stapler you can get.
When you're looking for the best darn stapler you can get.
Try staplersource.net. Staplersource.net, when you just have to staple some shit right away.
And now back to the show.
Cliff wasn't back at the beginning when we started. Now he's back.
I'm back.
Cliff,
I'm
God
back,
bless you. God bless you, Cliff.
God. What if God was one of us?
Just an obese.
From the 90s.
Just an obese 90s person like one of us.
From the 90s, Kendall. All the things Kendall, I think we got to get to the history lesson so people know that we're talking about the 1990s.
All right, Cliff.
It's time for Cliff's history lesson.
Oh, Kendall, there were so many.
Did you hear that?
My writers were looking up things from the 90s.
Our writers were looking up
things
from the
90s. And they brought them to me. And the 90s were just such a depressing decade. Let me tell you some of the things that happened in the 90s
Bill
that were
Clinton
depressing.
Was president.
But listen, Kendall. Clinton, yes, there were some good points, but moreover, there was the Gulf War in 1990. The Soviet Union just up and collapsed in 1991.
It just
1992,
up and collapsed.
Joey Buttafuoco. Need I say
more? No more.
Joey, you probably hear a lot about him. I bet Leno still does Buttafuoco jokes, doesn't he?
No.
And he's moved on to Waco, Texas. That whole horrible thing. Can you believe in that awful, Kendall?
Awful, Cliff. Awful.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
The way I was in sixth grade, and Kendall, OJ in 1994. Can you believe? What
was
did
that
you
94?
Think? 94. When you were young and that age, did you think he was innocent or guilty?
I don't know what I thought. I was too young to know. I remember it watching in my history class, and I remember the History Channel was new, and our history teacher always made us watch it. Now I love it. And I remember watching the news about the, you know, chasing the SUV, and I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah. I remember being at a... While that was happening, I had just gone to the movies with my dad and stepmom, and we came over to my grandma's house right after that because my little brother was an infant, and it was on TV that he was chasing in the white Bronco and all that. And also, now, do you remember this? I feel like this is one of the things for our generation. Do you remember where you were when you saw or heard the OJ verdict?
No, because I didn't see it. I think I was in... Well, actually, no, I think I was in that same history class.
Okay, probably so. See, I was in Algebra 1 in ninth grade.
Yeah.
And we watched it, because it really was, you know, it was huge.
Kids it was.
Today, they're texting, and they're sending naked pictures of themselves on the phone, and they don't know, like, how big of a story OJ was.
Just
Isn't
like they don't know
sad?
How big we are, because, because we're on the air.
It only got worse. Though in 1995, when Oklahoma City was bombed.
Oh my God, I can't believe that was 1995.
Yeah, but then things started to turn around for a little bit. Kendall, in 1996, my favorite, the Queen of Nice, the Rosie O'Donnell show premiered.
Oh, Rosie O'Donnell.
That was great, and things got just as okay in 1997 when they cloned that sheep, Dolly.
Oh, Dolly.
And Ellen, speaking of Yep, I'm Gay, that was when Ellen came out. And did you go to an Ellen's coming out party, or did you go to a prayer meeting for her?
I didn't go to either.
Oh, okay.
I watched her show and loved it, and I could not have cared less, because either way, I was fine with Ellen. I loved her either way.
Pioneer. Kendall, you are a pioneer. That's the only
I am a pioneer. I was, I was the only Southern person that made it out of the South alive.
The only one. But I went to Ellen's coming out party, and it was fun. In 98, though, things started to go back downhill. Can you remember all this with Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky? Do you remember that at all?
I remember that. I remember in my Computer One class. I remember hearing about it on the news.
God. I do. It was awful. It's awful.
Back
awful,
when we were working
awful.
On Windows 3.1 or whatever it was.
At those toaster screensavers?
Yes.
Kendall, but then one of the worst, now I remember also where I was when this came on TV, the Columbine shooting.
Now, I don't remember where I was during that.
You were probably like me. I was in school, and my friends and I, it was our senior year. It was just right before the end of school year. And we were just like walking around because we didn't have a class that period or something.
Yeah.
And they started saying, everybody get out of the halls. Everybody get out of the halls. And then we went to some empty classroom, and it was on TV. And it was, them pulling them out of the windows and stuff. But that is depressing and awful. I'm sorry.
God, you've brought us down.
I know. But let's get back up, everybody. Ooh, baby, let's get up. Forrest Gump. These were some of the best movies of the 90s,
Forrest
Kendall.
Gump. Forrest Life Gump. Life is like a box of chocolates, Cliff.
I know. You never know how fat you're going to be.
Oh.
Shawshank Redemption was the 90s.
Escape.
American Beauty.
Oh, Evita. A Bag in the Air.
Uh-huh. I love Bag in the Air.
Oh, I'm good.
If I had a Native American child, I would name it Bag in the Air. And
that's what I—that's what I brought from American Beauty.
That's one of the props you hold under glass, the plastic bag.
I have a bag, and it's blowing in the wind.
Where's Planet Hollywood to commemorate things like that? anyway, that was in the 90s, Kendall. Planet Hollywood, you remember that?
Oh, I do.
And yeah, it was okay. But for me, Kendall, the 90s will always be about those classic Disney movies like The Lion King or Aladdin or Beauty and the Beast. And of course, Kendall, universally hailed as the best movie of the 90s. You know it. You love it. Hocus Pocus.
Oh, I do love it. I don't know if it's universally hailed as the
universally,
best movie.
I think it just received some sort of honor from the American Film Institute.
Universally on this show. Remember, Winnie, remember. Remember, Winnie,
remember. Kendall, the TV airwaves were clogged up with great shows like Seinfeld, The Simpsons, Friends, and your favorite, Home Improvement.
And now they're clogged up with junk.
And they're also clogged up with all those same shows that still come on, and I would prefer to watch any of them, even Home Improvement, over most of what's on TV. Not that I'm against the Kendall show on a network, but Kendall, the best song of the 90s, according to VH1, don't you know it, that smells like Teen Spirit. And I just looked down the list of their other best songs, and I saw some that I liked. I thought I'd share them with you. Each one musically in their entirety. I'm just kidding. Vogue, one of the best. You Ought to Know from Alanis Morissette. Oh, I felt like a rebel teen when I had my Alanis Morissette CD. Did you, Kendall?
Oh, yeah. When I never had her CD, I felt like a rebel
teen. I had her CD and I thought, yeah, I'm rebelling. What of it? And also, Kendall, the best song ever recorded. On a boat, my heart will go on.
Oh.
Kendall, I don't know. I've been talking for hours.
You
I feel
have.
Like I've just given a history lecture
that is the
for
first
a
time,
master's thesis.
That was the first time you ever ran out of music for history lesson. I had to restart it. That's how
Kendall,
long you went.
The Cliff. One thing the world is not short on, and that's history.
It's not, Cliff. But you know what the kids are saying these days? I'm getting my beeper is going off with all these things.
Somebody's beeping you with things the kids were saying in the 90s.
It is, Cliff. Let's find out what the kids are saying. Or what the kids were saying, rather.
What were they saying, Kendall?
Cliff, they were saying, my bad. And that means...
bad! Oh, no!
That means... My mistake.
My bad. Kendall, you know, also they were saying, as if.
As if.
As if.
Yeah, right. And that
as
was
if.
That was immortalized by Alicia Silverstone in Clueless.
I know. I'm going to bring that back.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that back. And they used to say, word, and that meant, I agree.
Kendall, we need to bring all these back. another thing they were saying, when they really meant all right, they would say, that's aight.
That's aight.
Aight.
Well, they also used to say, all that in a bag of potato chips. And that means
all that, in a
that
bag
they were
chips.
The best and then some, Cliff.
Oh, Kendall, you know what they used to say back in the day? They used to say back in the day. That meant back in the earlier times of humanity.
We don't say that anymore. Well, no.
We don't say it anymore.
When we say back in the day, now we mean the 80s.
We mean we mean in our early childhood.
Cliff, do you know what banging or slamming means?
Banging, slamming. I haven't got a clue.
That means you have got it going on. Going Cliff. On.
Going on. Kendall, you know what they would say to somebody who does not have it going on?
What?
They would say, you fart knocker.
Oh my God, I remember fart knocker. My sister used to call me that.
Fart knocker. You know what else they would say? This is something your sister would say. Kendall, you're such a good brother. Not.
That shirt is black, not.
Not.
Do you know what blazed means?
Blazed.
Yeah.
Going down in a blaze of glory from the 90s.
If you ask someone, you want to go get blazed, you're asking them if you want to go smoke some hashish or already high. Man, I am blazed.
I am going to name my other child hashish. What was my other child's name?
I don't know. Fart knocker?
Fart? No. I said it at some point in the last 20 years. Kendall, do you know what they were saying? This is what they said to us. Hey, fats.
Yeah. And
that means, what up, buddy Roe?
What? No, nobody ever said that to me. They said, oh, look at that big fatso walking down the hall. What does that mean, Cliff?
Let's throw a potato at him. Oh, Kendall, do you know what they were saying? They were saying, peace out. And that meant goodbye.
Goodbye.
Peace out. Yizzle.
Speaking of goodbye, Cliff, it's time to say goodbye to what the kids are saying.
Oh, Kendall, the last thing they were saying. When they meant I'm having a good time dancing, they'd say, I'm getting jiggy with this.
Oh, getting jiggy with it.
Let's get jiggy with that sad music.
Oh, Cliff, I'm always jiggy with that sad music.
I'm getting jiggy with it.
Cliff, if our listeners were alive in the 90s even.
Our listeners are so young, so impressionable.
Back before the internet existed, Cliff. If our listeners
remember those
glory
days.
Wanna check us out. You know, it's not glory the 90s days. Anymore. It's not the 90s anymore, and they can check us out at cliffandkendall.com. cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, twitter.com/cliffandkendall, email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com. Call us on our fat line at 818-3084-FAT or search for us on iTunes by searching Cliff and Kendall. Now, do you realize if this was the 90s, we would say, if you want to, you know, talk to us, send us a letter at Cliff and Kendall at Cliff and Kendall Lane.
You can subscribe to our newsletter or call our 900 number.
Yeah.
Kendall, I've got a quote about the 90s.
Oh, goodness. I have two quotes.
Yeah, okay, you share yours first.
Okay, my first one is this, Cliff. I honestly think it is better to be a failure at something you love than to be a success at something you hate. And that was George Burns, who died in 1996.
Oh, no. Mine is, I'll wager that in 10 years, it will be fashionable again to be a virgin. And that was said by Barbara Cartland.
Oh, how wrong she was, Cliff.
I don't know. I was thinking of all those awful Republican virgin propaganders.
Ugh. And my other quote is this, Cliff.
In the 90s.
You got it, dude. And that was Michelle from Full House.
You got it, dude.
You got it, dude.
Here they are again. Cliff.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I hit the buttons prematurely.
Premature. You have a little bit of that P.E. Premature ebuttonulation.
Yeah.
You get what I said there?
I got you.
Ebuttonulation.
Take us home, Cliff.
Take me home to the 1990s. It was a time of other years. Cliff and Kendall. In the 90s, everybody...
You haven't changed much.
Haven't changed much. I was trying to think of something from the 90s, but I couldn't. I'm Cliff.
Oh, and I'm
Urkel.
Kendall.
Steve Urkel. The 90s.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you. I want to thank you and shake your hand.
Thank you personally, each one of you. We love you.
Oh, yes.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Cliff and Kendall will be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe. And for more sass, visit cliffandkendall.com.
Peace out, yizzle.